Prayer this morning that you would just arise throned by the praise that comes from our mouths this morning, God. We are so honored to be in your house this morning. We love you. We lift you up in Jesus' name. Amen.
Mindful of me, hear me when I call. And is it
God? I am a friend of God. He calls me friend.
I am a friend of God.
I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend.
Who am I that you are mindful of me? That you hear me when I call? Is it true that you are thinking of me? How you love me? It's amazing. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend.
God Almighty, Lord of glory, you have called me friend. God Almighty, Lord of glory, you have called me friend.
I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend.
Man, you guys can have a seat. Thank you. A few announcements for you this morning. First of all, we're just so glad that you're here to worship with us on this beautiful Mother's Day. I want to thank my mom for being here. If it wasn't for her taking me to church when I was 12 years old, I couldn't call the Lord my Savior this morning. And so I want to thank her for that and say happy Mother's Day to all mothers. Also, we are in the midst, or about to be in the midst, of a life-changing event. It's called Change the World Day. It's coming up this next Saturday, and if you want to sign up to take part in that, you can sign up back in the back, and it has a list of all the opportunities that you can take place in to be a part of that. That is something that is church-wide among the Methodist Church on the 18th, where everyone goes out and they give back to somebody else, what God has given to them. We've been so blessed, amen? It doesn't matter what, you know, social status you're in or, you know, how much money you make a year. You're here this morning. You're breathing. You're worshiping God. We are blessed. And so this is a day, this is an opportunity for the Methodist Church all across the world to give back. And so you can find information about that back there in the back. Also, our mission of the month, we are collecting school supplies, and you can see over here, that is where you can drop off those supplies. So if you're going out to the grocery store or to Walmart, pick up a couple of notebooks or some pencils, any school supply, and that's where you want to put that. And again, that's our mission of the month. And again, we're so glad that you're here this morning. I want to invite you to stand and sing one more song with us this morning.
Higher than the mountains that I face, stronger than the power of the grave, constant in the trial and the change, one thing remains, one thing remains. Your love never fails and never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love. Higher than the mountains that I face, stronger than the power of the grave, constant in the trial and the change, one thing remains, one thing remains. Your love never fails, Lord. Your love never fails, it never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love.
And on it goes,
and on and on and on and on it goes. And I never, ever have to be afraid. One thing remains, Lord, one thing remains.
In death and in life,
in death, in life, I'm confident and covered by the power of your great love. My debt is paid, there's nothing that can separate my heart from your great love. Your love never fails, it never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love. Your love never fails, it never gives up, never runs out on me.
Lord,
your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out. Never fails, it never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love, oh, your love.
One more time.
Your love never fails, it never runs out on me.
Sing it out, church.
Your love never fails, it never gives up, never runs out on me.
Oh,
your love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love,
your amazing love, Lord, it's your love. Amen. You can have a seat.
It is truly amazing that God's love indeed never fails, that it indeed never gives up. And even before we realize it, that God is moving toward us, seeking us out, searching us, and claiming us as His very own. Today we have a special opportunity as we celebrate the baptism of Nathan Henry McGough and invite the family to come forward as we celebrate the baptism this morning. To remember as a congregation that God claims us even before we recognize it or realize it, that God is already at work in our lives through our parents or through our friends, drawing us into His love. So as we celebrate the baptism this morning, before you will have the service of baptism, and invite you to join with us. If you all join it right here. All right. What a great family, right? All right. Brothers and sisters, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church, and we are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift to us without price. Today, Dave and Lindsay present Nathan Henry for baptism, and on behalf of the whole congregation, Dave and Lindsay, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, say, I do. Do you accept the freedom and power that God gives you to resist evil and injustice and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to all ages, nations, and races? And finally, will you nurture Nathan in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and by your example, that he may be guided to accept God's grace for himself, to profess his faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? If so, say, I will. And to the congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include this man, this little boy, now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround him with a community of love and forgiveness, that he may grow in his service to others. We will pray for him, that he may be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life. Let us pray. Eternal Father, when nothing existed in this world except for water, your Spirit hovered over the water that was chaotic, and you made it peaceful, and you brought forth light. And in the days of Noah, when the rains came and the floods came, you saved your people. And through the waters in Egypt, you led your people into salvation. So we give you thanks for this water, O God, that speaks of your salvation, that draws us into your love and into your life. We ask that you would use this water to claim Nathan Henry as your very own, just as you claimed Jesus when he was baptized. Oh, may your Holy Spirit rest upon these waters, and may they claim Nathan as your very own. In Christ's holy and precious name we pray. Amen. Okay. All right. Here we go. Yeah.
Certain way.
Yeah. All right, Nathan. Hey, buddy. You have more hair than I do. Probably will for a long time, too. Nathan Henry, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. May the Holy Spirit work within you, that you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. Brothers and sisters of the household of faith, it is my joy to welcome Nathan Henry as a member of this church. Will you also join with me in welcoming him? Through baptism, you are incorporated by the Holy Spirit into God's new creation, and made to share in Christ's royal priesthood. We are all one in Christ Jesus. With joy and thanksgiving, we welcome you as a member of the family of Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen. On behalf of the church, we also have a little certificate of baptism and the cradle cross that he can have at his cradle and a little Bible, his first Bible. May God bless you all. I hear our children coming. Let us continue in praise today as our children lead us in worship.
All right, come on back. You guys did a great job. And it kind of makes my next question an easy one. What is today?
Sunday.
It is Sunday. Who said? It's Mother's Day. That's right. Who has something? I would like to know, just from a few people, what makes your mom special? Raised your hand too early? No.
All right, what? She helps me with my homework.
All right. Come on up. Come on up here so we can.
What?
Come on up.
She is the nicest mom I've ever had.
Giving her something.
She gives me allowance every Saturday.
All right, we got one more? All right, one more.
She cooks dinner.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, you know, all right, you got one?
She is the nicest mommy.
Yeah. All right, so we can say a lot of great things about our mom. You know, I was your age once, and I was thinking about the things that my mom taught me. And sometimes our moms teach us stuff, and sometimes it's not always fun, but they do it because they love us. And I brought a few things with me. This is orange juice. My mom always had orange juice in the refrigerator, and I always drank orange juice, and it's good for you. So my mom was wanting me to eat and drink things that were healthy, even when I didn't want to. I also brought this. Who knows what this is? Yes, my mom taught me to do the dishes, all right? And now I know how to do it. And it wasn't always fun, but it was an important lesson. And I also brought this sheet of music. I used to take piano. Does anybody play an instrument or take dance or anything? My mom would always tell me, Clark, you got to go practice piano. But she did it because she loved me, and she knew I needed to, and that's how I got better at piano. And I think probably one of the most important things that my mom did for me is, I'm going to hold up this page. Tell me what it says. It says example. All right. My mother was a great example for me. And I've got a picture on here of when I was a boy, and she taught me she taught my preschool class. But then here's a picture of her at Asbury with Hope. And my mom, you know, I'm a parent now. This is one of my, Ben and Hope are my children. And I think about what my mom taught me about how to be a parent. And when you have kids one day, you will think about all the things that your mom taught you. So, I have an assignment for you today. Three things I want you to do, all right? I want you to hug your mom today. I want you to tell her that you love her. And I want you to do at least one thing nice for her, okay? Pretty easy. You're going to hug your mom, tell her you love her, and do something nice for her. Can you handle that?
Yeah.
All right. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for all the moms on this Mother's Day. Thank you for all the important lessons that our mothers teach us, and we know that they teach us because they love us. And we praise you for the gift of mothers. In Christ's name, amen.
As our kids make their way to kids' worship or back to their families, I want to turn your attention to the prayer concerns that are listed on the back of our worship bulletin to remember those among our congregation who are in need of prayer. We also want to lift up those beyond the walls of our church who are in need of prayer. Today is indeed a very special day for mothers, and we want to thank God for our mothers, and we also want to pray for those who have been mothers unto us in a variety of ways, whether they are mothers themselves or not. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Holy and loving God, we have been blessed by your grace this day. We have seen how you have claimed a child as your very own. How even before this child realizes it, that through the work of his parents, and through the work of this church, we are teaching him your love. And we have seen children come before us who have been raised in the faith, who have sung of your great love and mercy, who have awakened our spirits and our hearts once again. For this we give you thanks and we give you praise. For this is indeed why we have gathered here on this day, to bring you honor and to bring you glory and to worship you. So accept our gifts of praise, O God, that they indeed would bring you honor, they would indeed bring you glory, and that your name would be lifted up in our world. on this special day, we give you thanks for those who are mothers to us, for those who are our birth mothers, who have raised us in their households. We give you thanks. Lord, we pray for those who may not have children, for those who are not yet mothers or never been able to be a mom. Strengthen them and encourage them with your hope. Oh Lord, we also pray for those who have been mothers unto us and yet have not realized it, who by their love and peace and courage have taught us what it means to be faithful disciples of you. Guide us by your Spirit, O God, that we might follow them faithfully into the world, to be the people you call us to be. O Lord, strengthen us and encourage us to be your disciples through the work of your Holy Spirit in our lives, who have given us birth to faith and to new life. And may we not take that life for granted, but may we live in thankful response each and every day. O Lord, guide us by your Spirit. We pray these things in the name of the one who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We have opportunity to give back to God a portion of what God has given to us. May we give with thankful and generous hearts, for we indeed are blessed by God's grace.
I'm so blessed to have my almost 95-year-old mother in the worship service today. So I do this in honor of Mother and all the mothers. And I hope this song brings back some precious memories to you.
Precious memories, unseen angels sent from somewhere to my soul. How they linger, oh, ever near me, as the sacred scenes unfold. Precious Father, O loving Mother, fly across the lonely years, and old home scenes of my childhood in fond memories appear.
Oh, that song brings back some sweet memories. Time has gone by when we would all gather around as a family in a circle. Mom would be playing the piano, and Daddy, he'd be singing the bass. Daddy sang bass, Mama sang tenor, me and all the brothers would join right in there. Singing seems to help the troubled soul. One of these days, it won't be long, we'll rejoin them around that throne. We're gonna gather in the family circle round the throne. Will the circle be unbroken? Oh, by and by, Lord, by and by. There's a better home awaiting, oh, Lord, in the sky, Lord, in the sky. Sing it with me. Will the circle be unbroken? Oh, by and by, Lord, by and by.
sky, Lord, in the sky.
Thank you.
After hearing that, I want to go have a picnic now. It reminds me of being at grandmother's church and singing and having a good hymn sing is what they would call it. And then afterwards, they'd have a big potluck. So if y'all are interested, we could meet back here after the worship service for a good dinner if somebody would bring the casseroles and I'll bring some sweet tea and we would have a good time. If you're a guest with us today, we welcome you and we are glad that you're here. I know we have a lot of moms here with us today and a lot of family with their moms. And so we are glad that you're here worshiping together as a family and giving God praise for the ways that we have experienced God's grace. Today our scripture lesson comes from the book of Mark, from the Gospel of Mark, the third chapter. If you have your Bibles with you, I invite you to turn with me to Mark. We're going to be reading verses 31 through 35. Mark 3, 31 through 35. Hear the word of the Lord. Then Jesus' mother and his brothers came. And standing outside, they sent to him and called him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, "Your mother and your brothers and sisters are outside asking for you." And he replied, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And looking at those who sat around him, he said, Here are my mothers and my brothers and my sisters. Whoever does the will of God is my mother and my sister and my brother." This is the word of God for we, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Oh, loving God and Father, we give you thanks for this day, for the beauty of your creation that we have witnessed as we woke this morning, for the friendships that we have in this place, who encourage us and strengthen us to be faithful in our walks with you. And, oh Lord, we give you thanks for the opportunity we have to be here to worship you. And most of all, oh God, we give you thanks for your word that speaks to us, that encourages us, that builds us up, and that challenges us. May we be challenged by your word this day. May it grow and bear fruit in our hearts and in our lives. Oh Lord, allow my words to be your words, and my heart your heart. In Christ's holy and precious name we pray. Amen. I always thought that Aunt Agnes was part of my family. We would talk about her as kids as if she was one of our aunts. "Have you heard about how Aunt Agnes is doing? Is she coming for Christmas? Hey, kids, get in the car. We're headed over to Grandma and Grandpa's house. Aunt Agnes is in town." I always thought that Aunt Agnes was part of my family. That is, until one day, I don't know what I was exactly doing. It may have been like in sixth grade when I was doing the family tree project or just curious one day. And I asked my mom, "Mom, is Dad older or younger than Aunt Agnes?" "Well, I think Dad's older, but Aunt Agnes, don't you know she's not Dad's sister?" "But we call her Aunt Agnes. I thought she was my aunt." "Well, she is kind of like your sister," my mom explained, "but she's not really your sister. And Aunt Agnes is not really completely part of the family, at least not in the sense of blood relatives. She's not like Aunt Debbie or Aunt Anne. She's not kin to us, per se. But she is part of the family. Well, how in the world, then, why do we call her Aunt Agnes? My mom went on to explain. When Agnes was 20 or so, 21, she was a single mom and homeless. And it just so happened that your grandmother was driving by one day and began talking to Aunt Agnes and invited her to stay at the house for a while. Well, Agnes stayed for 6 or 8 months. We would come for Christmas, and suddenly she became Aunt Agnes. She became a part of the family because my grandparents invited her to stay for a while to escape a very poor and bad situation. She became a part of the family. Even more so, I went on to discover that Aunt Agnes was not the only aunt that I had that was like this. We had other aunts and uncles that my grandmother and grandfather invited into their home to stay for a while so that they could get back on their feet. And before we knew it, they became a part of our family. Though they weren't blood relatives, they became our family. Grandmother and grandfather, adopting people they had never seen in their life except for that day into the family. So I always thought Aunt Agnes was part of the family. In our scripture lesson today, Jesus begins to confront us as the way in which we see and think of family. Just as my grandparents thought that it was worth their time and their resources of expanding their family, so too Jesus confronts the way that we see and understand family, what it means to be family, and says that it is worth expanding the way we think of family. In the Gospel of Mark, where we read our scripture lesson today, Jesus' ministry is in full swing. Unlike the other Gospels like Matthew and Luke, who begin with the birth narratives of Jesus and get a little bit of narrative about Jesus' childhood, Mark begins in the very beginnings of Jesus' adult ministry. Right from the get-go, he begins with Jesus' baptism, and as if being pushed out into ministry, Jesus is baptized and begins ministering out in Capernaum and Nazareth and all around Galilee. He begins healing the sick, proclaiming good news to the poor, proclaiming good news to the oppressed, and releasing the captive. Right at the very beginning of the Gospel of Mark, Jesus is in ministry, roaming around, doing good work, doing the work of God. The only problem is his family is around. And it seems like that Jesus' family become more of a deterrence for ministry than they do a help for ministry. In fact, according to the Gospel of Mark, it seems as if Jesus' family is a bit unnerved by Jesus' ministry. And earlier in the chapter 3, if you take a moment and look back, you begin to discover that Jesus goes around healing and teaching and gallivanting all around Galilee, only to discover that his family thinks that he is insane. He begins turning heads and raising eyebrows, and probably the neighbors begin to wonder, I thought this was Jesus of Nazareth, you know, who grew up around our kids. How in the world is he going around and healing people and taking care of people and releasing the captives? You know, he's not practicing the Sabbath as he should either. And he's calling into question the religious authorities and the people of power. And as people begin to notice Jesus' ministry, and they begin to question Jesus' ministry, you can imagine that his family begins to hear about it a little bit. I remember when I would cause problems at home or problems in youth group or problems at school, it wouldn't be long before I got home and I would hear my dad say, "What did you get into this afternoon or this evening?" Because someone would have called my mom or my dad to say, "Nathan's been in a bit of trouble." And you can imagine this is what is going on with Jesus. Here he is out doing the work of ministry. People are turning their heads, wondering what is going on. People whom he grew up with saying, "This is the Jesus we knew and we played with." And yet he is questioning and causing a ruckus. You got to get Jesus under control, Mary. You got to get Jesus under control. I think he's gone insane. And so they try to get Jesus to settle down a little bit. He's drawing unwanted attention to the family. So they want to quiet him down, rein him in, to keep him from giving the family a bad name in the community. Were you ever told as a kid to remember who and whose you are? I was told that very often as a kid. When I would go out and be with my friends, my dad would look at me and say, "You know, remember who and whose you are." Of course, he wanted us to remember, first of all, we were Christians. But secondly, and sometimes I wonder if it wasn't the most important thing, was that we were Kilborns. Don't embarrass the family name, he wanted to remind us. Jesus' family, their name has been embarrassed. People have drawn unwanted attention toward them. So they want to rein him in. You see, in the first century, family meant everything. Family was the central social unit of society. It wasn't like the families we think about today, where we may have mom and dad and sisters and brothers in one household. But rather, this was a multi-generational unit that stuck together, whose lives were based on each other's ability to create status in a community, to have a good and faithful job that could sustain the entire group. Whether it was livestock or in the case of Paul, who was a tent maker, they were all a part of a particular trade together. And it meant that they would be a stable group of people helping support one another. To be shamed in the community would mean destruction for a family. To lose trust in the community because one of the sons or daughters had done something bad could mean total destruction and great loss. You got to protect the family name. It means our livelihood. It means being secure forever. You got to protect the family name. To be shamed by a member of the family could indeed mean total destruction, loss of status, loss of resources. And it appears that Jesus' family is simply trying to protect the family name and their way of life. And so we get to our scripture lesson today. But it doesn't seem like Jesus is trying to shame his family, nor is he seeking to reject his family. Rather, it seems that Jesus' family doesn't quite understand the ministry that he is to undertake. Jesus isn't gallivanting around the Judean countryside in a crazy tirade. Instead, Jesus is initiating the kingdom of God. And as the kingdom of God is breaking into the world, Jesus wants those around him to know that it engulfs their entire lives, including what it looks like to be family. It engulfs even one's preconceived notions of what it means to be family. When Jesus says, "Who are my mothers and my brothers?" He's not rejecting his family, but rather he is redefining what it means to be family. We all know what the definition of family is, a basic social unit consisting of parents and their children considered as a group, whether dwelling together or not, a traditional family. And yet Jesus is beginning to wonder, as the kingdom of God is breaking into the world, what it means to be family. In fact, he is expanding our understanding of family. Family in the kingdom of God, according to Jesus, will no longer be defined by bloodlines or genetic code. No longer will it be defined by who's your mother or who's your father. He's beginning to redefine family. No wonder he is not liked by many people, right? Because he begins to question the traditional values of the community. As a side note, I wonder how often Jesus has been rejected because he has questioned our own preconceived notions and our own traditional values. How often Jesus begins to get at us a little bit, the way we see and understand the world, and how it may not be compatible with the kingdom of God. He begins to question what it means to be family, and yet he doesn't exactly reject family, but he expands the notion that those who are doing the will of God are family. That those who have the Spirit of God running through their veins, this constitutes family. That those who are part of Jesus' family are those who do the very will of God. Those who allow the Spirit to inhabit their hearts and their minds and their lives. These are my mothers and my brothers and my sisters. You know, for some of us, it is probably good news to know that our families are much larger than the ones that we originally were born into. In an age of broken families, God knows that many of us need something bigger than the families that we started with. And Jesus gives hope here. To say, those who are my mothers and my brothers and my sisters, those who are part of my family, are not simply the ones that are born into my family, but they are the ones who have the Spirit of God resting in their hearts. Blood doesn't matter, but rather the Spirit of God moving is what makes family. You see, we need a much larger group of people than our smaller knit families. A much larger group of people are committed to one another and to God to teach us what it means to love one another and to care for one another and to encourage one another. Because more often than not, our families fail. And we need a much larger group of people to carry us through. We need a group bound by the Spirit of God to be our family. God tells us, Jesus tells us, that the way we enter into the family is a gift. Many of us know that gift, the gift of God's grace that showed up on our doorstep even before we knew it was there. That a person, a friend, a relative, a mother, a father reached out to us and gave us the gift of God's love, that lived it out in front of our eyes, that we might know who God is, that who is our true Father, who is our true parent. We know that it is a gift of God, freely given unto us by God's grace, to be a part of the family. A gift is the way that we enter into the kingdom of God. Today we witnessed an amazing thing, right? We saw a little child baptized. God claiming a child as his very own. Even before he realizes it, God the Father, God the loving parent is already at work in his life, claiming him as his very own. Have you ever noticed in baptism that the last name of the family is never used? That you never say, or you never hear the pastor say typically, Nathan Henry McGough or Nathan Joel Kilborn. That the last name is never used when you baptize a child or an adult. But rather it is a way of saying that this child is a part of the family of God. And the last name disappears because now they are part of God's great family. Nathan Henry, Nathan Joel, we are all part of God's family. We are no longer Kilborns or Bradleys or DuPas or McNerlands. Rather, we are part of the family of God. Sometimes it's good to know that we have a much larger family than our own. Sometimes it's difficult to know, and it's challenging to know that we have a much larger family than our own. Because when God claims a child as his own, and we, the church, become that child's family, we become surrogate parents for that child or that adult. That they become part of our family, and we are now called to raise this individual in the Christian faith, in the Christian life. And we become parents unto this child. Dave and Lindsay probably are very excited about that. You can, you know, probably drop off Nathan at any one of these houses for babysitting now. But we have become parents with great responsibility. Every time someone is baptized into the faith, to be raised in the Christian environment. You see, Jesus is expanding our notion of family. More than blood, but blood that is born by water and the Spirit, a new birth into a new family of which we have great responsibility. Today on Mother's Day, a day when we are with family and we're together as a family and we love our mothers, let us not forget who we are called to be as Christians. That those whose mothers have been absent in their homes, that they have different family. That those whose mothers who have helped raise them in the Christian faith, that they can be grateful that they have helped them see that their family is much greater and much larger. That even when they're gone, they can be cared for and encouraged and strengthened for a new day. You see, when our family is expanded, we have much and a greater responsibility. A friend of mine not too long ago told me a story about hiking in the Adirondacks. The Adirondacks are a much older group of mountains. They're not like the Rockies, which are newer and reach up to the skies and pointed. But rather, they're over time, they've worn down, kind of like the Appalachian Mountains. And over time, they've worn down, but there are still places in the Adirondacks that get above the tree line. And when they get, of course, get above the tree line, there's no trees, obviously, there, but rather there are bald spots on the top of these mountains. As my friend Gary was telling me the story, he said he went hiking with his brother, and they were going up the Adirondacks, and they got above one of these places where it got above the tree line. And as he was hiking out onto the bald, he saw all these rocks piled up along the way. People had carried small rocks and large rocks, and there just put them here or put them there, so it seemed. And he asked his brother, he said, "Brother, why do people carry these rocks up to the top of these balls? Why are they here? Are they to memorialize something? Is it to memorialize that you finally got to the top of the mountain and that we made it?" The brother said, "No. When the clouds settle in, when you're on top of the ball, people have piled these rocks up so that you can find your way back to the tree line and to the trail. People have carried them up here before you even knew it to help you get back so that you don't get lost. We have great responsibility. What are the rocks that you carry to help those in your family, in the family of God, to help them find their way? What are the rocks, whether you're a mother or a father or not, that you lay down for children and for youth that they might know the grace of God, that they might live faithfully in the world? We have a great responsibility. Jesus has expanded what it means to be family. So may we be faithful to that call. In the name of the Father and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. As our praise band makes their way forward this morning, I invite you that we have prayer rails here that you may come and pray. Maybe you need to take time and give thanks for your mother. Maybe you need to take time and ask God to empower you to be a good mother. Maybe you need to take time to ask that God would strengthen you, encourage you to be part of the family of God. Maybe you desire to join the family. Christ waits and is ready. Let us be standing and join together in song.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I worship Your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing Your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the His holy name. time has come. Still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore, forevermore. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. Worship Your holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy name.
It's been a joy and a privilege to be here to worship with you all. So may the Spirit of God go with you as you leave this place, that you may continue to worship God, that you may continue to bless His name, that you may continue to be the people God calls you to be. Go in the strength of that Spirit and go in peace. Amen.